Welcome to Monday. A real broad range of topics today, starting with high vis, ending with party blockages. It's all happening.
What about the history of high vis? That was really interesting.
Did you learn something?
It just came from nowhere, the old high vis. Yeah.
What? Yeah. I just was interested to see. Also, we had Mick Malloy and his parenting tips.
That was good. That was very, very helpful. Yeah, I was a bit mad at that, actually. And then do dogs need jumpers? That was good. Got a lot of calls on that. Do dogs in winter need jumpers?
Yes, they do.
Oh, did he speak to you?
95% of people.
Let's go back to our favourite all-time segment as always, have you got a talking dog? There's so many people
oh, that was so good.
Until you got to get them on the radio.
And then they won't talk.
Come on.
Come on, Brian.
We do have Brian who does call in with his parrot. His parrot's always good for a chat.
You know him in the quiz.
Where's he gone?
I don't know where Brian's gone.
Have you heard Brian before?
I've never heard Brian.
Oh, he's good
stuff.
Brian
is a new thing to me.
Hey, talking bird.
Plus, if you like poo geysers, then this is the catch-up for you. My goodness, what an eventful weekend you had, Marto.
You have a metre and a half high geyser coming out of your driveway, which is poo. I've got some video of it.
That is gross.
Yeah, the most sickening audio you'll ever hear in relation to that.
Wasn't that perfect?
No, it really wasn't.
Enjoy it. We'll catch you tomorrow.
Marto, Ed and Robin, lifting podcasting to new heights. Well, they're giving it a crack. Might need a hand from Height for Hire's reliable fleet of booms and scissor lifts. 1-800-heightforhire.com.au.
Okay, you may question that I have nothing in my life, but I did think a lot yesterday about whether you delivered for your wife's significant birthday, both present-wise and party-wise.
That was so nice of you at the end of the show on Friday to remind me that it was my wife's 50th and to wish her all the best.
When I said, what are you doing for the weekend, and you said going to Perth, I knew that was the wrong answer.
Well, the reason is I shouldn't really talk about the party because of people who didn't go or weren't invited because Kat's mum died. Only last week, and it was only at the funeral and the wake afterwards that people encouraged her to have her 50th birthday party because she always said, Mum's dying, I can't be having fun. So I arrived back from Perth, had to go over there for footy. Yes, the New Zealand team, the Hurricanes, beat an Australian team. It was amazing. You know, it's only the 23rd time that's happened this year. All right, so I had 5:30, I pull in, and I knew I had a lot to do before people started coming at 12. And it all went off magnificently, got everything organised. There was fire. There was a lot of meat.
Wow.
A lot of meat. There was a lot of cold drinks.
Good.
There was a lot of laughter. There were some tears later on, you know, last night as the sun was going down. They were still going when I went to bed and had a great old time. Great 50th. Only about 30 people, you know, tight 30 came. Right. So anyone who wasn't invited, don't worry. I saw something occurred about 11 a.m. yesterday morning. I walked into the bathroom downstairs at our house that I share with the young 18-year-old bloke who lives downstairs. And the grate, the shower grate and the floor grate, there'd been something had come up.
Oh, no.
I went, not up. Jesus, what's that?
Not up.
What's that? And I just thought it might have been the young bloke. I thought his levels of hygiene are even below mine. And I thought, what's going on there? Everything seemed to be right. Flushed the toilet, had a little bit of trouble going down, like I didn't put anything in there. I just thought, I'm sort of inquisitive. Party starts an hour later. I then step outside and there's real trouble. Yeah. The inspection outlet. Anyway, anyone who knows anything about sewage, we had some real problems on our hand. As the guests arrived at midday yesterday, the signs had to go up. Toilets temporarily unavailable. Thankfully, there were some neighbours at the party, and anyone who needed to go to the toilet was escorted to the next door neighbours' houses. Mm. All good. So, luckily, I went, righto, I'm sure there's a blockage somewhere. I've never had a blockage in 20 years I've lived there. Thankfully, one of my best mates is a plumber. He was coming to the party, but not until 3 o'clock or so because he had to move house. I rang him, I said, mate, I got a huge favour here. Oh, you got to bring your eel over. You know what the eel is? It's the little thing that goes, you put down your pipe and it cuts through any obstructions, whether it's root. We didn't know whether it was roots at this stage. Should I cut to the end? Yes, I will cut to the end. Don't ever put female hygiene products or baby wipes down your toilet. This is what keeps plumbers in business. We can talk about it some other time, but please don't. And it's,
baby wipes?
Baby
Why?
Wipes.
Who puts baby wipes down a toilet?
Apparently people do it. If you run out of toilet paper, that's what people are doing. And I remember I had to go to Melbourne for a day last week and we ran out of toilet paper. I think that's what's been going on at our house. Anyway.
You have sewage.
Sewage had not reached the mains at our house, we believe, for about 2 weeks. So he comes over. And if anyone knows anything about eels, we needed 24 metres of line before we found the blockage. I then go down near the street, and we're on the side of a hill, right down, so there's a fair fall. And I had to open up the inspection outlet. Well, at this stage, because there's all these blokes around, and it's early in the party, blokes don't like just standing around looking at each other. They need some entertainment. Mm. They realise there's an eel there, and everyone knows what an eel is, but no one gets to see it in action.
Never seen one.
And the eel was in action. It was like a grandstand. Everyone was just standing around. I had a poo exclusion zone, and all the blokes were there with a beer. Hey? This is the good end. So we're trying to find the blockage. I'm at the bad end with about four other blokes. I said, oh, you watch this. So I pulled off the little cap down the bottom, and you could hear it. When he reached the blockage, you could hear the gurgle. And then he said, don't. He was about 20 metres away. He said, here she comes, Marto. So I'm down there. He said, don't stand near it because I have my face over the top of it. He went, get back. Get out of the way. It was what I'd describe as one of the great poo geysers I have ever seen. It went a metre and a half in the air for about a minute. Couldn't get my camera out. I just went, oh, I got to film. Well, I did film the last seconds. This is what it sounded like. And everyone, right, just put your spoon down if you're eating brekkie.
Oh.
Yeah.
No! Oh, what do I do? Just keep the hose on.
Yeah, where's the hose?
Oh, how's the street going, mate?
Yeah, happy 50th, Kath. I know.
Happy birthday.
There were three blokes had a spew. Three blokes had an immediate spew. It was just magnificent.
I wasn't even there, and I can't smell it, but it makes me want to dry
Then we hose him all up, clean him all up. Then it's time for speeches, food, and no one wanted to shake any of the heroes' hands. What an afternoon. Now, if you want entertainment at your party, bugger a live band, get it yourself a pooage problem. It was
And we're joined now by BBC reporter Gavin Gray, who is in the UK. Good morning, Gavin. What is the latest, mate?
Hi there, guys. Well, as you can imagine, a pretty bruised and dented atmosphere in the UK and London in particular here on Sunday evening. The latest is, yes, 7 dead, 48 injured, of which quite a number are critical, 21 in total, across 5 different hospitals here in the UK, and among those in critical injury, a number of French as well. London Bridge is an area which is very popular on a Saturday night, which is when this happened. A great night to spend an evening out, good restaurants, good bars, and therefore a great sort of international melting pot. And we do, of course, know that in amongst the two who were injured, we're being told an Australian woman called Candice Head, she was stabbed in the throat while sitting at a bar. And also a chap called Andrew Morrison. Now, we're not sure any more details about him, and indeed they are both said to be still in hospital, but those details not confirmed by the police here in the UK.
Gavin, for those that haven't been across exactly what happened, there was a car and then there were also people on foot with knives. Is that right?
Yeah, Robin, basically, you know, you remember the Westminster attack a couple of months ago, right by the Houses of Parliament, where a large 4x4 car drove up onto the pavement. Well, in this case, this happened a couple of bridges further down on the Thames, London Bridge. That's not the famous Tower Bridge one, which lifts up. This is next to it. And a van, which had, would appear to be a hire van, mounted the curb, driving along the pavement, which even though it was 10 o'clock at night or 1 or 2 minutes before 10 o'clock, would still have been pretty packed. With driving along, they're said to reach about 50 miles an hour. That's about 80 kilometers per hour. It's obviously, you know, in a limit of 20 or 30 miles an hour. That's if you're on the road, of course. The pavements would still have been really pretty busy. It then sort of crashed, came to a halt outside a pub, and then it was said that three men got out and, armed with knives, just started stabbing people. The pubs and areas in that place are really densely populated. There are lots of them, and people out enjoying the summer sunshine, having a drink. Now, the three people who were later gunned down and killed by police officers, all were found to be wearing false bomb vests. They looked pretty realistic. So that was why some were reluctant to tackle them, but there are incredible reports of bravery as to people trying to stop them before.
Hey, Gavin, two questions here. Why London? Why does it always seem to happen in London? And what's the response going to be?
Well, why London? Because you can guarantee these densely populated crowds. This is a low-tech attack, this one. This is somebody going to hire a van and then using that as a weapon, and then these knives, long hunting knives. What's going to happen now? It's going to be very interesting. The police were there and actually called very, very quickly, and a new SAS squad called Blue Thunder landed by helicopter on the bridge and killed and stopped the assault within 8 or 9 minutes of it beginning, which is pretty remarkable. Oh. But during that time, sadly, we do know that there were 7 who had died, and not including the 3 attackers and all these others injured. Now, the police fired off 50 rounds. That's unheard of in peacetime. Sadly, one of those appears to have hit somebody who's currently in hospital. We don't know their condition yet. What's going to happen now? Well, the Prime Minister has said enough is enough, but we don't really know what that means. But she has effectively said, now we have got to be tough on extremism. We'll have to wait to see how those words actually pan out.
Gavin Gray, BBC reporter, live in London. All the latest on the BBC website or on the BBC if you can get it on your telly. Thanks for your time.
Cheers, guys.
Guys, as you know, my wife is having a baby in just a couple of months, and I'm always trying to collect parenting tips. I ask you guys off air all the time, but thankfully, and I heard this on the grapevine the other day, and I'm wondering if it's true. Triple M's head of fatherhood, Mick Malloy, joins me.
Oh, wow. Hello, guys. How
hey,
are you?
Now, Mick.
Hello, Mick. Now, Robin, just for some context, Mick, 1 year when you were looking for a present for the boy's mother for Mother's Day, which store did you go into?
Liquorland.
Oh, yeah. You didn't.
And what did we get?
Got a couple of good presents.
I was trying to get flowers, a balloon, and all the balloons for Mother's Day were sold out of Coles, so they had a Liquorland attached. Yeah. And they had balloons. I said, listen, here's 50 bucks. Can I have the balloons? Because my boys have their hearts set on a balloon now. Yeah. So anyway, I get the balloons, which are display balloons. They're not for purchase.
No, of course not.
So anyway, they take them home. We blow them up, and they start playing them around. And my sister comes over and goes, "What's going on here?" I go, "Oh, these are just some balloons I got for Mother's Day." And on the back, it's got Liquorland, Bridge Road.
Happy Mother's Day.
No, Happy Mother's Day. So the whole family, my mum's family came around and watched their grandchildren playing with Liquorland balloons.
Great.
So, Robin, you'll be as shocked as I am to learn that I've heard around the Triple M grapevine, is it true, Mick Malloy, that you were asked to give a talk on parenting?
What? I did. Oh, I did it at my kid's school the other day.
Now, you got twins, though. How old are they? 3 or 4 now?
It's north of 3.
If they're at school, what, 5, 6?
They're not at school, no. Well, they just started in an early learning centre. It's high security. It's kind of I drop them off and I pick them up. At least I think it's our child learning centre.
They're the only kids that get frisked on the way in.
They have to go through metal detectors.
Now, Mick, I question this. Because there's a classic story about when you had to look after some other children.
My sister, before I had children of my own, at least acknowledged in a court of law, I decided that I'd turn my sister's boy, young boy Ollie, into a Richmond fan.
Yeah.
So I bought him all the Richmond gear and I got him all the stuff. And anyway, eventually, he got old enough, just over 4, I said, can I take him to his first game of footy? Wonderful. And she wasn't that happy about it because she's well aware of my character.
Yeah, we've seen that.
Anyway, I've talked her into it. Anyway, what ensued was one of the great days of my life. It really was. We catch this train into the MCG together. It's a Saturday afternoon. The sun's out. The MCG is like an outdoor cathedral.
Love it.
Richmond are playing Melbourne. Richmond win by 6 goals. Oh. At the end of the game, I've got this little boy on my shoulders. His eyes are bugging out of his head.
Wow.
Just a great experience. And we catch the train back to my sister's. Anyway, we go inside and we go into the lounge room and Ollie starts watching a replay of the exact same game we've just watched.
Yep.
Oh, my sister grabs me at the back of the room and goes, what happened? I go, nothing. She goes, what went wrong? I go, nothing at all. She goes, did you do anything? No, I go, no, it's all good. At that point, from just in front of the telly, all you hear is, ha ha, you effing white maggot.
Yes.
Nothing to see.
No, it was all a good day.
What a good boy. And that's when you decided you needed your own children, was
that's
it? Not
right.
Mick Malloy?
I haven't taken him to the footy since, and he's 18 now, and I'm still not allowed to take him.
Thank you, Mick. It is a wonderful example that you set.
I better go. The boys are in a car out the front.
Window down?
Yeah, window down. Oh, it's 4 inches. What do you think I am, an animal?
See you, Mick.
See you, guys.
Yeah, look, the question is as
follows. He's the greatest.
Isn't he, though? He's just sauntering through
care.
Life. He doesn't care. Great parenting fails. It's time to be honest. Maybe it was your parents did something to you, or maybe it's your own that you're willing to admit. Mick Malloy with the Liquorland balloons for his partner's their birthday. What have you got? Time to own up. We'll have a prize for the best parenting fail. I need to know what not to do. This is what I'm after.
I'll give you one. If you leave your power tools plugged in your shed and your kid gets stuck into them.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Self-teaching. Yeah, that would definitely be
Does
one.
Does that qualify?
Yeah. No,
there's one.
And Ed's just wanting a list of things not to do.
That's right. Scott from Shaler Park. What happened?
I broke my daughter's leg on a slippery slide.
Mm. Yeah, oh, man, how'd you do that?
Did you go down with her?
Well, yeah, she was only little and she was only just about two. And she's sitting on my lap as we're going down the slippery slide, and it went around a corner. I didn't realise her leg was sticking out the side as we went around the corner. Well, the good part was we didn't realise that at the time because it was getting late, and we thought she was just tired. So we took her home, put her in a cot, and she sort of cried all night. So we thought, oh, she's just tired. So we put her into bed with us, and my wife just sort of tapped her on the leg all night to try and put her to sleep, only to realise the next morning that it was broken.
Good work.
Thanks. The upside of this story is that she was too young to remember.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, good.
No. She still reminds us every birthday or every time we're with friends.
Oh, that's great. Revenge.
And has a Thank complete you. Phobia of slippery
So that's her
slides.
First memory of life.
That's one. Yes.
What a great memory. Leg. Daddy broke my leg.
Colin of Rochdale.
Yeah, hi, guys. How you going?
Hey, good, Col. What do you got?
Look. Mate, you know, doing a bit of multitasking on the weekend one day. My six-month-old son, the missus has gone out, and I had to do my chores like most normal blokes, doing the mowing and stuff like that. So I've chucked a little fella on my chest in the harness, and I'm out there whippersnipping.
Yep. How's the hearing?
She was not happy when she got home.
No,
how did she know? CCTV.
Well, I was just finishing up, actually, and she comes in, and I'm whistling away and whippersnipping. He's asleep on my chest, and there's rocks flying, and she's going bananas.
Okay, can I just ask, was he facing inward or outward?
He was facing inward.
Okay, and was his
whippersnipper flying the rocks on the opposite direction?
Okay, was his head protected at all?
Oh, of course it was. It was on my chest, and my arms are sort of around him a little bit.
Sort of.
If a rock came from behind,
I never did it again. Let's put it that way, guys.
No. I never did.
Oh, that's all right.
No, I bet you didn't. Thank God. Kid lived to tell the tale.
It would have been worse if he was mowing.
No, it wouldn't.
And went down to get the catcher, and his baby slipped out.
Okay, Steve of Beenleigh.
How you going, Robin?
Yeah, good, mate. What did you do?
Finishing the day out, putting the pram in the car and forgetting where the baby is, and then we realised we left the baby in the pram.
Where was the pram? In the garage?
No, I've got to put it into the car.
You folded the baby into the pram.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
See, I've never seen that happen. That's spectacular.
When we got him out, he still laughed. Instead of crying, he was laughing his head off like he wanted to do it again.
Have you got lots of kids? Like, how many you got to be able to do this?
Two.
Only two.
Was he the eldest?
Yeah, he's 26 now. He still laughs about it.
Oh, nice, right.
He still laughs about it. Yeah,
when did you realise? Did you actually get him into the car, into the boot, and drive away?
No, the wife was wondering where I put him. He said, I thought you had him.
Oh, the old you had him. No, you did. Oh,
no, he's strapped
safe
into the
sound.
Folded pram.
Nice, Dave.
Steve wins.
Everyone feels good.
I did the Bow Desert Showgirl awards night on Saturday night. What?
Well, you started by saying you did the Bow Desert Showgirl, and I thought, here we go.
What a weekend.
What is the Bow Desert Showgirl?
Well, they're just, it used to be a really big thing in the Bow Desert Shire coming into the show. And, you know, back in the sort of 70s and 80s, the showgirl competition used to have hundreds of entrants, and it's kind of died off, and they're trying to bring it back because, you know, areas.
Why did you
like,
have to go and do it?
Because I was kind of like a guest speaker. They were trying to get someone to sort of motivate the young girls.
They've got Pauline Hanson's a local down there. Why wouldn't you get her along?
I don't know. But it was actually, I've got a soft spot for country towns like Bow Desert. I started my career at 2WEB in Bourke in far western New South Wales.
Hold on. Are you comparing Bourke and Bow Desert?
Kind of. Because the cowcockies.
Have you been to Bourke in there? Have you been to Bourke?
No.
It is way out there.
Yeah, no, right. I know it's way out west. But there was something about these lovely older gentlemen who are wearing their R.M. Williams boots and their tweed jackets that have the leather patches on their elbows that only come out for special occasions. And they sat in the crowd and, you know, they weren't particularly, in fact, I don't think any of them knew who I was because I wasn't on the ABC.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
You know, it was, and the girls were lovely.
What were you looking for in the showgirl?
I wasn't a judge. I had nothing to do with the judging criteria.
Oh, well, therefore, we can definitely talk about it then.
Well, okay. What do you want to know?
What's the standard of Bo Desert girl?
About the showgirl was that she needed to be within the local community, and the woman that won, Georgina Bailey, no relation to me, is actually a journalist at the local paper.
She'd have a good set of calves, wouldn't she?
I think she grew up
a lot of paddock walking. I'm thinking.
One of the other contestants was a massive horse lady and is studying equine something or other.
I'm glad you said horse.
What does that mean, a horse lady?
Got nothing to do with how she
interested
looks.
Interested in equine.
Stuff. So they're there to promote the Bo Desert show, and it's not a, you know, beauty competition or anything like that.
Oh, okay. That's good.
It's them trying to push their local community, and, you know, Bo Desert's an hour. It took me an hour to get there. Someone forgot to tell me, or I forgot to remember about the ruse. Oh, my Lord, ruse.
Do you get a sash? Do you get a sash when you win?
Yes, you do. You get a sash. You get a pre- that says, you know, Miss Showgirl, Miss Bo Desert Show.
Miss Bo Desert. What do you get with that? Free pie a day from the local place? Do you get car wash for free? What do you get to do lots of...
There was a $100 Coles Myer voucher, I think, and a sash. And you know, he's going to have some local publicity, but it was a fun...
Well, she's getting publicity now, so congratulations to all at the Miss Bo Desert Showgirl for this year, and I look forward to next year. I understand Mercedes Corby's already expressed an interest.
Oh, my God.
In participating or speaking?
I think she's just going to bite someone.
Marto, Ed and Robin's the new Triple M.
Equine.
Early this morning, Robin yelled out with quite a bit of delight, Marto, check page 16. This is before we go on air. I go to page 16, Ed, and I see two dogs dressed up in outfits.
It's so fun when there's a story that I know you're going to love or hate, depending on the morning.
Well, it started last week when you showed me the photo of one of your dogs, Robin.
My greyhound.
The greyhound's got an outfit.
Yes, she does, because if she doesn't during winter, I get woken in the middle of the night and her little body is shaking from the cold, because greyhounds have no body fat, and I have to put a blanket on her. So now she has a fleecy.
How do greyhounds normally do it? Like, how do they stay warm normally? They go for a run.
They go, yeah, okay, but not in the middle of the night. So I put a little jacket on her, and it's a fleecy jacket. And then often she woke me actually during the middle of last night, and I had to put a blanket on top of the fleecy jacket that she had on because she was that cold. What's wrong? Look, why are you looking at me like that? That is not abnormal. I want to take care of my dog. It's not a fashion accessory.
I don't want to be mean, but I do need to mention that it's a dog.
So what would you like her to do, freeze to death?
You're not supposed to put jackets and outfits on dogs. Like, this is how they got to where we are. Like,
what do you mean?
Dogs don't wear clothes. If you haven't, have a look through the old papers and old things.
It's functional. It's not a fashion accessory. I agree with you that if it was fur-lined or perhaps tiger-printed, where I was trying to go for a statement on my greyhound, but actually I'm just trying to keep her warm.
Just let me check. You made me turn to page 16 of the Courier Mail this morning. And this girl here, she's an electrician. Good on you, love. Now, her dog has a flannel shirt, which that's his bogan outfit, she says. We have actually got matching flannies. So the female owner and the dog... matching flannelette shirts or outfits.
Okay. So she clearly doesn't have children.
I've never owned a dog. Now I've got a short-haired style dog.
Yeah.
My dog hasn't been telling me that it needs clothes, because I've normally owned long hair, like border collies previously.
What? Why are you so exacerbated?
I just couldn't understand. Even if I couldn't care less if my dog was shivering, I'm never ever going to put a jumper on my dog.
So because it says something about you, is that your problem?
I think, yeah, that is true.
Ed
Cavalier? Says that I don't understand what a dog is anymore.
Ed?
I think that dogs, if anyone can explain to me, I'll try and remain open-minded here.
Yeah, you do.
If anyone can explain on 133353, do dogs need jackets in winter, then I will be...
Don't they just curl up? You give them a blanket to lie on and they just get it around their shoulders. They don't need to be walking around embarrassing the hell out of their whole... It's not just their breed of dog, although these are long-haired chihuahuas, should be embarrassed for yourselves anyway. A long-haired chihuahua with a flanny on.
Okay, but some of those bald cats also get jackets too.
Bald cats.
Well, but
what's wrong with them? They shouldn't be around.
Exactly.
Bald cats.
Exactly.
They're not a thing.
1, 2, 3, 5, 3.
They shouldn't be a living thing.
That's true. Do dogs need jackets? What justification can you have for giving a dog an animal
They're
covered
cold.
In fur?
A dog, a greyhound that's worked out how to shiver. Like, yeah. That's a unique
I'm
act.
Waiting for the teeth chattering, but have you seen a greyhound's mouth? Snout? Didn't work.
That's interesting.
Maybe you're right. Maybe dogs can communicate that they are cold and I need to put my jacket on.
We will soon find out. Can you convince us that dogs need jackets? Lee from South Brisbane, do dogs need coats?
Definitely not.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lisa.
Oh, dear. No, don't you. Why
you
don't
tried?
They need it?
Well, I've got a bull terrier, and I've tried keeping him warm over winter, and all he does is chew up whatever I give him. So I find him now in my barbecue area, like in the actual barbecue. That's where he keeps warm.
Yeah, that's
sitting
good.
In the barbecue.
They always work things out. And, Lee, in the summer, they always know where the coolest place is to lie. And in the winter, they find out how to get warm.
Marto, that's great. People don't put ice vests on them in summer. No. So what? That's
some
great.
People do. No. You can get those. You can get those little ice. The things that go around their neck.
All right. Well, that's
me.
Yeah. All right. Lee, thank you, Lee. Jackie from Birkdale. Jackie, do dogs need coats?
No, they don't need coats. But I've got a Ridgeback Cross cattle, and she needs a blanket, a pillow, and a heater to keep warm.
Jackie.
What sort of heater did you say?
Oh, the aircon, the heater. She needs the heater on with a blanket, a mink blanket, and a pillow.
Mink blanket.
Does this dog sleep in your bedroom by any chance?
Yes.
Ridgeback cattle dog. See, that's a working dog, and it requires to be kept warm. I'm with you, Jackie.
But it's a largeish dog and a great dog, that dog. But it doesn't belong in the bedroom either, and it shouldn't. Next thing you know, it'll come out when you're at work one day and have one of your dresses on. And that's what's probably going on while you're at work.
That's interesting. Very interesting.
This is how it starts. This is how you get a transitioning dog.
Yeah, great. Simon.
See, they start to think they're human.
Ah, what do you mean? Right. A dog's going to go. I can't even go there with you.
He thinks he's people. Yeah. And then they want to sit at the table. I've seen this happen. Simon's from Birkdale. Simon, tell me, do dogs need jackets?
Yes, they do. Marto, I thought you were smarter than this.
Mate, I've never had one of my dogs wear a jacket. What do you got to tell me?
My dog has a dryer-of-own jacket, and it has a pocket on either side. Yeah. And when I'm camping, I can put a can of beer in each pocket, and then I just call the dog instead of getting up to go to the esky.
Well, that's different.
But then after you drink that beer, can the dog go into the esky and put it back in the pocket?
No, but it's got two pockets. I only have to get up to go to the esky every third beer.
Functional, Simon. Well done, you. What sort of dog is it?
It's an English Staffy.
Does it appear to be happy wearing clothes? Like, you're dressing it up like the man from Snowy River. Does it seem like it's happy with that?
It loves it.
All right.
See? There you go.
Yeah. 95% of people are saying it's okay to wear jackets.
Thank you.
It's going to a hundo after 90, Simon's call. I think 95. A lot of people are very happy with that.
Okay, so I was driving to a football game on Sunday morning at 8 o'clock in Ipswich, and I saw a young fella trying to let a drop, which was obviously how he was making his pocket money, but he was wearing a high-vis vest. And I just found it a little curious, and then I started to think about high-vis. And I Googled back to some of the big projects that have happened in Australia, like the making of the Harbour Bridge, the building of the Harbour Bridge, or the building of the Snowy River scheme.
High-vis was not a thing. No, of course not.
Okay, but when did it come out? I want the history of high-vis. Who started wearing it? When did they start wearing it, and why? Because now, almost everyone...
What do you want? A who, a when, and a why.
Yeah.
History of. Yeah. When did you start wearing it?
I mean, I can Google and I will get some of the history, but I'm curious to know who...
I won't Google. I reckon in 96, I took a year and went up north. Okay. And when I came back, was wearing it. The truck drivers were the first to wear it, I think. It wasn't in reply. I reckon truckies were the first because then people came back in 97, came back here to work on building sites. I was working up north. There was none up north. Came back here and went, what's with all the high vis? What happened there?
Interesting.
And some reason it started with truckies. I think someone may have got hit or something happened, you know, because you can't. It was to catch the eye, especially on building sites, especially when there's cranes and large vehicles and mines, when there's large vehicles and they can't see everything. Just that catch of fluoro in the corner of your eye can
make sense.
Okay,
can grip you. So I'm saying 96.
1-333-53. I want to know when you started wearing high vis and what do you do?
But then it became everywhere.
Well, it was actually created in the 1930s. by a guy, American, by the name of Bob Switzer.
Oh, no, hold on. High Viz.
Well, he came up with the Day Glow paint.
Okay.
And then he used it on his wife's wedding dress to see that if it could work with fabric. She must have been stoked.
Where was his wife's wedding dress? In his shed?
And, well, he just decided to see if he could use it.
What
and
was
that
first,
was a way.
Yellow or orange?
Yellow.
Yeah.
Anyway, looking, I'm just Googled. I said I would. The American National Standards Institute.
Oh, I'd leave some room for others.
No. This is overseas.
Okay.
I want to know if Brisbane people can answer the Brisbane question.
When our government finally lost control against workplace health and safety.
Well, 1999 is when the Americans brought it in, and 2007 is when the UK brought it in.
When did you start wearing high-vis? When did it become mandatory or strongly recommended in your...
Because remember, that used to be you'd have to have some in the car to put on. Now it's you got to have it on all the time.
What about cyclists in high-vis?
Oh, yeah, they.
That's fair
why
enough.
Don't they have to wear high-vis? Yeah. You're right.
No, but a lot of them do. Smartly so.
Mm.
Anyway, Al of Slacks Creek, when did you first start wearing high-vis and what do you do?
I'm with the railway, about 1994.
Yeah, right.
Here's a key question, Al. When they said, listen, you all have to start wearing high-vis, did they provide you with high-vis or did they make you go out and buy it?
No, they supplied it. It wasn't mandatory, first off.
And it wasn't every job either, was it?
No, it wasn't every job. It was just if you were out on track, you had to wear high vis so you didn't get run over by a train or they could see you a bit better.
Well, that
so
makes
they
sense.
They could aim for you or something, I don't know.
They could aim for you. That makes sense to me, Al. Do you mind wearing it?
No, it's part and parcel of the job now. You're just it's second nature.
Yeah.
And what colour do you wear, Al?
Orange.
Okay.
Yeah, Al, the other problem, my only problem is you'll go fishing somewhere and there'll be blokes wearing high vis. Like, you don't really need to be. Oh, maybe
fishing.
You do. Well, on the beach, like where they're not on boats even, blokes, like they wear the high vis everywhere, like to the shops.
Yeah, I don't know about that
they
one.
Put it on when they get out of bed on a Sunday. Because that's their favourite gear.
Okay.
That's fair
is
enough.
Is that going too far?
Maybe.
If it's their favourite. But you don't see, like, barristers don't wear those crazy wigs and their counter.
Maybe they do.
Cafes.
Warwick of Ipswich, tell us about your high vis.
Yeah, I noticed it come in about the 90s, same as what Al said. You know, like I worked at the meatworks and you actually start seeing blokes starting to wear the high vis because, you know, like all the forklifts getting around that sort of thing. But yeah, Al's right. In the 90s, it would have came in.
Is it compulsory for the business you're in now?
Yeah, it is. As long as you've got a, like, it doesn't really have to hide, as long as you've got the yellow sort of shirt, so.
Yellow shirt. Okay.
Yeah.
Because yellow's brighter than orange, Warwick, for me. I know I might be colourblind, but the yellow seems the brightest to me.
Yeah, I always wear the yellow, mate, because, yeah, I always wear the reflectors across them, so. Because I can't actually carry one in my car, too, in case I break down, the book of vest.
That's not bad.
If I do break down, I've got something that the drivers can see if I break down at night or something, so.
Geez, you're good, Warwick. You know, you're a sensible individual. Excellent work. Thank you, Warwick. So late 90s for construction,
see,
1994 for Queensland Rail.
We're not as dodgy. Yeah, it's somewhere in there. I reckon it was 96 when I first went. How come everyone's starting to wear this? Because I was probably working for ourselves. We were in the suburbs.
Yeah, right.
We weren't falling under government regulations all the time. But people who we got?
Hayden, who's a Kiwi but lives in Ashgrove. Hello, Hayden.
How are you?
Yeah, good, mate. So what happened in New Zealand?
Oh, mate, we're actually trained to do our job. Open up our eyes and use common sense sort of thing. I know it's a pretty basic thing or naturally born into every Kiwi's DNA. But when we come to Australia in 2005, that's the first time we started having to wear hard hats and day glow vests. Because apparently you can't see people in the middle of the daytime over here.
So it's only an Aussie thing, you say?
Day glows with the nighttime. So,
That's
what we were brought up.
But isn't there a problem, Hayden? Surely your dreadlocks get in your eyes and then you can't see and your spliff falls out of your mouth.
All my dreadlocks are all singed real short because of the spliff that I had the night before.
That makes sense.
What business were you in, Hayden? Scaffolding, I figure, or form working?
Nah, mate, I move houses and earth-moving construction, abseiler.
So now you happily wear high-vis now, I guess?
Hang on. We'll have to get a picture and send it to you because there's an orange collar on it, but the rest of it's grease.
Hayden's good. I like Hayden. Thank you, Hayden. That's excellent work. Ready for my million-dollar idea?
Go on.
High-vis, Broncos, if you're listening, high-vis football merchandise, footy shorts, so that people can wear them, Tyler's and stuff like that, Marta.
So good.
High-vis singlets and shirts with a little Broncos logo and that type of thing, which also counts.
Every footy club.
Yep, and Queensland. Why doesn't the Origin do one
high-vis
Origin outfit?
No one's ever thought of it until right now.
God.
There's somebody who's just screaming at their radio going, you stole my idea!
Marto, Ed and Robin on the new Triple M.
I had an awesome afternoon yesterday afternoon, realised that there was no football on and I haven't done this for ages. And I said to the boys, like last week, I said, right, Sunday afternoon's mine. You all have to be home and you have to come and do whatever I want you to do. Okay. So,
do they listen to that?
Yeah, well, that, you know, I run them around a lot and I don't get a huge amount of say in what we do. So, they're in agreeance. It doesn't happen overly a lot. But,
did you promise them food?
Well, that was potentially a part of the whole experiment. But basically, did our jobs in the morning and after Lewin finished his soccer game out at Ipswich. And I took them into the city and went to the Marvel exhibition at the Art Gallery.
Marvel's at Goma at the moment. It's called Marvel Creating the Cinematic Universe. How was it?
Because it was really good.
Yeah, is this where the suits are, like the Iron Man suit? And
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah. It was funny though. You should have seen them. They didn't know where they were going and you should have seen them, in the car when I'm driving into the, the arts precinct and they're we're not going to an art gallery, are we?
The library.
Yeah.
Did you say, let's go to the historical library?
Let's go to the library. But then they saw...
Museum's cool.
Well, it's actually in Gomez. It said, but as you're walking up, you can see this big image. And if you're crossing the Captain Cook Bridge, it's on the rotating.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's and it's all the costumes. I will say that they don't look half as big as they do on this big screen, which is probably not that surprising. But you see the Thor costume, and you go, really? He a little fella? Or
no,
maybe
he's
it's
not.
Just
Thor.
It just doesn't look very big.
We often talk about this. Movie stars are usually short. Is Robert Downey Jr. Iron Man?
He's
tiny.
Yeah. Is Chris Hemsworth short?
No,
surely not.
He looks big.
He's a man mountain.
Yeah, he's a proper man. He's the only one when he's on TV, my wife goes silent. And I'm like, what are you imagining?
Fair enough, Tiff. I'm with you, honey.
What are you imagining right now?
And
he rescuing from?
They have rooms for each of the superheroes.
Oh,
so and they've got all the lots of the props and the guns and going to Tony Stark's and there's one of his cars before he becomes Iron Man.
They've got theme rooms. Each room's got a different theme.
Yeah, and there's lots of interactive stuff. So they had this interactive dancing game where my two younger were playing as Hulk and also Iron Man, and they were dancing together on a big screen and making Iron Man and Hulk dance together. It was hilarious. You can dab just like that. They both were.
Yeah, of course they were.
And you can have your photo taken and be made up into a poster, like a Thor poster, it's really good. But here's the thing we learnt, right? So lining up, 40-minute wait to get in if you were waiting to buy tickets. But if you'd bought them online, you could walk straight through. So Lewin, my eye child, who's really clever, grabbed my iPad while I'm waiting in line. Within 5 minutes, he had the tickets. We went to the front of the line.
Oh, good.
They scanned them, and then we went.
He was hungry, wasn't he?
No. No.
Oh,
if I eat first, they won't do what I want. Right. So I make them hungry. Right. I mean, they were trying to rush through the exhibits.
I bet they were.
Until they got to the interactive stuff. But it was good.
Good on them. There you go.
It's fun.
Marta, you're going. We're going to send you. You have to go. You're the only
one. Iron Man's the only one I like, so I found that
quite
good.
I know, you like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the Spider-Man stuff. And
Making me go. Someone's making me go.
Well, fair enough too. Why? Because you have no idea.
Because I said I don't know what Marvel... I'm not one of these superhero people.
You're about to be, mate.
Oh,
apparently I am. Mate, I'll come out with an outfit, a Lycra outfit on, I think.
Go with an outfit on.
Can you do the dancing thing? Can you do the interactive dancing bit? That would be very funny and a great video.
We'll see.
You can be the Hulk.
Don't ask for too much, Robin.
Marto and Robin.
It's the new Triple M. Now on Triple M, we're checking in with Gordy
Tallis. Tell us. Everyone loves Tell us. Still another round of the NRL over the weekend, but still everyone's talking Origin. Gordon Tallis, you said over the weekend that Billy Slater has to be in the 17 for Origin 2. You're very close to the selectors and the team. What are you hearing? Is he a chance?
Oh, it has to be. I think there's 3 weeks between the first and the second, so Billy Slater did his chances no harm on, I think it was Friday night, playing against the Knights. I know it was only the Knights, but there was a play that they did around the ruck where Darius Boyd was about a metre, and Billy and Cooper do that so well in a couple of kicks.
Thursday or Friday night, the Storm play Cronulla, where we'll see Billy Slater come up against Valentine Holmes. Let's say they both play magnificently. I want both of them in my best Origin team. I don't give a stuff about loyalty to Dane Gagai can stay, but Justin O'Neill or even Corey Oates for that matter. He's a young bloke. Give these guys. They are the best players. Yeah, that's our best three players at the back. Let's have them.
Do you know what? I think New South Wales have listened to us put rubbish on them for so long. I sat there yesterday and we had our show, Mardo, and then they picked three fullbacks, right? So they picked Tedesco. That's in great form. They picked
Ferguson.
Ferguson, that plays centre. They put him on the wing. They picked Dugan, that plays fullback. They put him in the centres. You know, they picked Hayne, that plays fullback and centre, and they put him in the centres. They just picked the best guys.
Best players.
They thought could go out there and do the job. So I think Queensland should take a bit of their own medicine and, you know, just pick the best 17, put them in positions and let them go out there and do their job.
Who's your legends and lemons from the weekend? Anyone?
You know what? I think the legends are the referees. You know, like, we always bag them. I thought they were absolutely outstanding. We always bag them to let the game flow, blow the whistle twice in the first state of origin. I thought it was really good. And mate, my lemons have to be the Bulldogs. They just re-signed.
They're just lemons.
Zero points.
Oh, well, do you know what? No, they are. They're just lemons. They've got to wear bright yellow jerseys. I think I should go to the NRL and give them bright lemon jerseys that they have to wear next week.
They have to wear next week.
Gordy, are you hungover or sick?
No, I'm a bit fluey.
Okay, Robin, just checking.
It was actually a big week. I was in bed early. I love The Voice at the moment. But The Voice, I'm a bit dirty about The Voice.
Yes.
Because it's turned into The Look. It's not about The Voice.
You're so right.
Are these live rounds? We're over battle rounds. We're having to live, are we?
Yeah, but they pick them on what they look like and who they are.
It's where they get the oldies and fatties started to get eliminated now.
Yeah, there's no more Susan Boyles coming through.
No. Yeah, we'll pass that on to Seal, mate.
That's so true, mate. Thank you, Gord. We'll speak to you soon.
Guys. I appreciate it. See you soon. Yeah.